Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Hi there, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this evening. For folks who are just checking out Inner Voice for the first time, I want to let you know this is a show that looks at the different lenses of depth psychology, that is, working with archetypes, working with the stories that we're destined to tell in our lives, the stories that hold energy for us cross-culturally. Those stories that we're destined to tell, we can either tell with authenticity, we can tell our own unique story, or we can tell the story that the culture has for us, or our family holds for us. And sometimes when we tell those stories too long, they don't have as much energy and authenticity for us. So if that topic interests you, you're in the right place. The other thing the show deals with is connecting with your intuition. Archetypes help us to connect with our intuition, help us to connect with a deeper felt sense of who we are and how, through following what our calling is, we can connect more deeply with our authentic self and what it is we're meant to share and give to the universe. So I encourage you guys who are listening to share your face with Insights Radio. Just click on that button so I can see that you're watching. And that'll also tell you what's coming up on Inner Voice in the near future. I'm going to get my guest out in a minute, and I'm really excited to have her on the show. But I do want to share with you what's coming up on Inner Voice, because there are some really great topics coming up. Let's see here. Next week, we have Heather Horton on the show. Heather Horton has a wonderful show herself on Paramania Radio called the Heather Horton Hour. She is a wonderful astrologer. I was just on her show a couple weeks ago and really enjoyed sharing the hour with her, and I look forward to having her share the different aspects that are coming up astrologically with us. Then, let's see here. On December 11th, Deb Wright will be joining us. Deb Wright is a fantastic massage therapist. She also does cranial sacral work and different kinds of energy work. I was gifted with a session with Deb just a couple weeks ago, and I can tell you she's a wonderful, wonderful practitioner. She knew how to work differently on each of my feet. She knew that they needed different things. So she's very intuitive in the way she works, and I really am looking forward to having her on the show. Her company is called Our Wellness, so check it out. Okay, with no further ado, I'm going to introduce our guest tonight, Ellen Siegel. Hi, Ellen, are you there?
Yes,
how
I
are
am.
You doing?
I'm awesome. Doing well. You can hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine, absolutely.
Great.
I just want to let you know, if sometimes blog radio has funny little glitches, if that happens, just stay on the line and I will call back in. But it shouldn't.
Okay.
We should be fine, just so you know. Well, I want to share with folks what it is you've been doing. I know you do wonderful heart-centered therapy for all different kinds of clients, and I know recently you've written a book called Be Happy No Matter What. So I want to make sure that you get a chance to talk about those two things.
Okay.
Where would you like to start?
Well, let's see. Well, we all know that time is accelerating, the feeling of time is accelerating, and it gives us the opportunity to feel like we are living a lot more in a shorter amount of time, and it can also give us the feeling that we're running out of time. So, right? So what I started to think about is how to make the most out of the time that we are experiencing. And this goes back to, I lost my father when I was 18, and he was 48, And he, in those days, he was called a type A personality, which meant accelerated living. And really what I always felt was that he had lived more in his 48 hours than some people, 48 years than some people lived, you know, in 100 years. So it gave me this feeling of, if today is my last day, how would I like to live it? And it hasn't been easy to reconcile that with all the pressures and internal pressures of my own growth experiences, which we all have. So that's how it is that this book emerged, through all my clearing out of all my own, you know, not all, I mean, much of my own difficulties inside and wounds. And all of us, I could say, anyone who's tuned into this kind of a show has been working on themselves for eons, letting go, letting go, letting go, to clear the way to be our truest selves, or the essence, the essential self, the authentic self that you talked about. So this book is really what's emerged as I've been clearing out my own channel, so to speak. And it's a very soothing, sweet, nurturing, cozy up type of a book that invites the person who sits with it to really, really, really appreciate themselves as a work of art. It's really, I love it. I love it. And even though it came through me, I can't really say I own it, right? Because spirit writes us.
Right.
So that's how come I feel like I could say I love it. I love it.
That's
it's
awesome.
A sweet, sweet, soothing experience. So
that's wonderful. So I think that it's interesting, the whole writing process. How did it come? Did it come in chunks and pieces, or did it come in one fell swoop, or how did it work its way through you?
Well, for many years I knew that I'd wanted, that I was going to write a book, or that a book was going to come through, and I was the kind of person who did school papers by writing thoughts on index cards and laying them all around the living room floor and putting them together. So over the years, I would do this with this material, and I'd sit there and I'd go, I just don't see how this comes together. I just don't see how it comes together. And then about 4 years ago, I did that, and I said, oh, wait a minute. I see how these things come together. But then I got help, a writing coach, someone who could help me let's say, move through my process. She was, like, perfect for me because I'm a process person. And with lots of encouragement and tips, you know, sometimes it was dumping my thoughts onto, you know, paper. Other times it was zeroing in on one aspect. Another time it was fashioning words and things like that. And one of the things I could encourage all of us, as you had suggested, you know, during your intro about getting in touch with our essence, our authentic self. Because one of the things about this is that each word has been handpicked. So it's definitely an expression of whatever that vibration is through me. And I would encourage anyone who has that, you know, feeling of having a book in you to do it.
I love the fact that you say that you had a writing coach that helped you. I think that in our culture we're so reinforced that archetypally that we have to do everything all on our own, and so we have this kind of survivor mentality when actually we have all of this support around us. And I think it's so wonderful that you did it co-creatively with someone else.
I think that's one of the messages I've been getting through whatever spiritual classes I've attended and my colleagues, is that this is a time where we're really opening up to co-creation. And I could tell by the what the writing coach shared with me, and then I was introduced to wonderful people who certainly I'm not the person who would do the artwork or the editing, and the people who were attracted into this project were all people who used the material they shared. As the editor was editing, she had some issues with her mom and her mom's health, and sharing how working with the material, the content of the book, she was using it right while she was editing it. So,
oh, that's wonderful.
It
so
great.
It already was working like a workbook in the very beginning.
Yeah, yeah. And,
oh, that's
wonderful. I love that, the co-creative energy. So,
Absolutely. Well, tell me a little bit about your journey, Ellen. I know that you started out about 30 years ago doing different kinds of therapy with clients. And what did your journey look like? I know that you work a little bit outside of the typical arena and do some other things that are more spiritually based. How did you come to include that in your therapy?
Well, I'm licensed as a clinical social worker, and one of the things that the first question asked of social work students is, why do you think you've come into to train in this kind of work? And really the answer is seeking healing for ourselves, and certainly that it's a parallel process. So in order to work effectively with people who seek help, say from me, I have needed to work on my own wounds and you know, get help for my own healing. So where many people could judge themselves for having hard times in life and having difficulty going through situations, I always invite people to consider that those are the very experiences that are translatable to helping others. So my own healing journey took me through all different manner of workshops and 12-step programs for eating issues. And years ago, I attended a workshop by, was called Let Go and Live in New York. And that, I mean, that was like, well, I don't know, 30, 35 years ago. And I have to say it's no different than, you know, current day workshops. And these are sort of ancient truths and wisdom that I'll speak for myself when I finally get the handle on it and get myself open enough to utilize these ancient wisdoms, then things start to change within me. So one thing led to another thing, and one of the things that I found around the year 2001 was training in heart-centered hypnotherapy with the Wellness Institute in Seattle. And I, you know, there's so many different therapies and there's no one thing, right, that's for everybody. And so everyone, the most important thing, which is certainly one of the things that Be Happy No Matter What helps people with, is to really get in touch with your intuitive knowing about yourself, like what's your best next step. And so for me, it was that heart-centered hypnotherapy. And, you know, for whoever's attracted to me for that, and I have EMDR training and holographic memory resolution training and, you know, all different other kinds of spiritual, what shall I say, coming to yourself types of exercises and practices. But for me, that heart-centered hypnotherapy was the shortest distance between upset and feeling good. I just want to add one thing, and that is this idea that, you know, not everybody agrees with, but it seems to be effective for those who do consider this, is that anything that's happening in our current lives is really just an echo of something that's happened before.
Mm-hmm.
Many people find that we have an excessively strong emotional reaction to something in our current life that we know is just a little bigger or a lot bigger emotionally than the current situation calls for. And there's a very gentle, easy, and direct way to go right back to the source of that and to heal it at its source. And that could be in this lifetime, earlier in this lifetime, or it could be in a past life or parallel life or, you know, wherever the person goes is the right place to go to heal it. So I find that it's very effective for people who come to me for that.
Yeah. Awesome. So when you say heart-centered hypnotherapy, how does that differ from traditional hypnotherapy, Ellen?
Yeah, well, it's, let's see, there's lots of different flavors of hypnotherapy, mm-hmm. and just like with other things, and in this particular way, we actually use the energy, I'll say the divine energy that comes through your heart center,
mm-hmm.
that we're satellite stations of the divine. And that many people have heard us talking about these days, that we're really getting in touch with either the heart in our brain or the brain in our heart,
mm-hmm.
that everything is coming around more to the love vibration. And so that's what this is. I don't even know how else to say that, how this is centered. We use lots of the same techniques, anchoring, neuro-linguistic programming, gestalt techniques, you know,
mm-hmm.
where you can talk with someone, you know, with your mind. They're in the chair there and you're talking with them. And we travel back on the energy of the feelings, and the person's subconscious and high self really direct the session. I facilitate it, but it's based on what's within the individual who's looking for resolution to something that's a growth hurdle, something in their own life that they'd like to overcome.
Awesome. Very cool. So can you talk a little bit more about some of the modalities you use, the ones you use most frequently, the ones that you find really help a lot?
Well, one of the things I like to do is to invite someone to relax their judgments,
mm-hmm.
their judgments of other people and of themselves. And you might say, well, how is it possible to do that? Can you just relax your judgment? And so one of the things that I like to invite a person to consider doing is relaxing their body. As a culture, we've sort of become addicted to a non-relaxed state.
Mm-hmm.
And that inhibits the flow of energy through our bodies. So I use relaxation techniques, talking a person through relaxing themselves. And this is aside from the hypnotherapy. This is just for anyone. And, you know, who's ever listening can do this, you know, for yourself. If you're in a car now, I don't recommend that. So I don't think we're going to do it now. But you can just relax your body by focusing on your head and just with your mind, bringing in the idea of relaxation. And if it seems like it's not working, you can act as if, and it will start to work. And the more you do that, the easier it becomes. So relaxing one's body is a way to become open to new thoughts. So that's another technique, is to invite someone to really say out loud, I'm interested in new thoughts. That way that whatever you're exploring for yourself, you're not swimming in old thoughts that you know already. And by sort of invoking new information will come to you. So that's...
I love your use of the word invite. I think so often we demand and command energy to change, and that inviting adds a whole other element to it. It's a whole other way of treating change in our beings, and I just really appreciate your use of that idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not surprised that you picked up on it, because it is a different energy. And there was a book I was introduced to here when I came to Columbus about 5 years ago, and that Hidden Language Codes.
Mm-hmm.
And what that reinforced in my mind is the energetic value of words. So it's really a value for us all to listen to the words that we use. And they may not be conveying exactly what we mean them to convey.
Mm-hmm.
And we can ask the universe or whatever for better words, the fitting words. Because just that point about inviting, you know what? When I'm invited to something, I'm much more apt to consider it.
Mm-hmm.
And even the... Even to be invited means you can pass on it also. And this may not sound like a technique, but really almost anything that I would say to someone who comes to me for help, everything is handpicked like that word. And so, you know, you could consider that as a technique too. So I would say that even though someone might be paying for my services, I always say these thoughts are not for sale. They're for consideration, and to encourage someone to consider them before throwing them away.
Mm-hmm.
And that creates lots of space. So that's a technique, is to help someone create space, emotional space around them, so that they're not so confined and pressured, feel demanded upon, you know, like
mm-hmm.
you said.
I love the fact, too, that you talk about the connection with the body and making space in the body
mm-hmm.
and making space in thoughts or memories. I think that we get so full of ideas that really sometimes aren't our own, you know,
mm-hmm.
from whether it's the media or whether it's the internet or whatever it is. There's such an emphasis on taking in information, and sometimes that filter about what information is ours, what we want to hang on to, and what we want to claim is, you know, really confusing for people. And I think that slowing it down and adding a choice element to it and making space in the body and in the memory is really a nice idea.
It also gives us an opportunity to appreciate
mm-hmm.
things about ourselves. And that point that you said, I also, for myself, and encourage others to raise the question of, is that my thought or is that there someone else's thought?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it is a challenge when we're inundated by so much information. It's very easy to lose ourselves in the spin of things that's going on. So another technique is, we're automatically breathing. So by introducing some consciousness to our breathing, now mm-hmm. here's a technique that, you know, if you're driving, don't do it, but you can do it later. And that would be to introduce the idea of something called circular breathing. So you take a breath in and you imagine that it's going up from your legs, up your back, over the top of your head and exhaling down the front of your body. So you start to get a breath going, breathing in up around the back of your body, over the front of your head, and exhaling on the way down. And what this does, this actually clears congestion from your aura.
Mm-hmm.
And brings you into a relaxed state. So that's another technique for relaxation. And when we get our body-mind field complex into a relaxed state, then we can think with discernment about all the thoughts and ideas that are bombarding us from the environment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good practice.
Awesome, awesome. I love your emphasis on inner work as well. I think it's so important as practitioners to do our own inner work. There's this one psychotherapist, Edward Ettinger, who talks about the idea that we can't take our clients further than we've taken ourselves. And I love that idea of, you know, stretching, that we have to stretch for our clients, the information that we're taking in, the different techniques and exercises. Mm-hmm. And I think that doing inner work encourages that process.
I'm fortunate to be doing a presentation on November 29th at the State Social Work Conference, and it's
mm-hmm.
called Self-Compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about teaching clients about having compassion for themselves, but the whole point of the session is exactly what you just said, and that is teaching the practitioners about self-compassion, because so many times we're, it may feel that, well, you don't have to be a practitioner for this, it's anyone in our lives who, you know, anyone who is giving to others. To watch out for not taking care of themselves in the same measure. Just like you said, you really can't give away something that you don't have for yourself. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's really important, what you said.
Awesome. Yeah. What else do you want to share?
Well, let's see.
Where do you want to go?
Well, this is so great, a great opportunity to be with you, to focus in this way. Let's see. Well, I can't emphasize enough the idea of appreciating ourselves as a work of art. So this can shift our idea from all the ways we felt about ourselves growing up and find ourselves, if you just listen to your self-talk during the day, it can give you some tips on how you feel about what's going on in your life. And one of the things you had mentioned before was picking up thoughts from others. And not only are we carrying thoughts from society, but we're carrying thoughts from our parents and how they carried on. And while they certainly have done their best, because as we all do our best, we as children are left to connect the dots between situations and elements of situations, and we draw conclusions about what we're experiencing because we're trying to make sense out of life. And kids don't have enough information in an earth sense. I think as children, intuitively, we know everything. But we're souls in these little bodies. And so one of the things is, as adults, to erase the lines between the dots we've connected. One of those, one example would be, as children, very often anger and violence came in the same moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so understandable that we would connect those two dots. Yet as adults, recovering from our childhood woundedness, we all have it, it seems to be beneficial to erase the line between the dots of anger and violence. Both need to be appreciated in their own right separately. And anger, when separated from violence, is something, it's an energy that goes through us that needs to be validated and appreciated. And sometimes it can be consciously used as fuel for some creative endeavors. So that's something I wanted to share.
I love the fact that you talk about that, because I think that so many people have heard the message that anger isn't okay, and then they have a tendency to stuff it. They don't know what to do with it. But anger can be a motivating force for change if we get clarity about it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so wonderful that you recognize that anger isn't a bad thing, because I think a lot of people think automatically anger is unacceptable because they were taught that in their families.
Right. And then there's a component, and all of this is in the Be Happy No Matter What book in a very gentle way. And so one of the things, an additive is something I like to call creative communication. So let's say we might feel, I could speak for myself, angry about something. The main thing would be to be conscious about it. Oh,
yeah.
There's anger. Okay, what don't I like about what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And another benefit of slowing down your experience, because once you're working on the relaxation and slowing down your experience, then you have ample time and emotional space within yourself to say, oh, wait a minute, I'm angry. Oh, you know. And what I don't like about whatever's happening, because when I communicate it to the other person, if there's another person involved, I want to communicate it in a way that will be received.
Mm-hmm.
There are many people who say, well, you know, I shouldn't have to worry about whether they can receive it or not. Well, one possibility is a person, you might want the other person to receive it and not want to communicate it in a way that alienates the other person.
Mm-hmm.
So there can be thought involved in that it's much bigger than flying off the handle and exploding, that there's something important to communicate. Something really important. And when we get angry in the face of something, that means something has triggered something in us. And it's important that to recognize that there is a boundary between us and another person, and that their behavior does something to trigger us.
Mm-hmm.
And what's on our side of the boundary is ours to discover.
Yeah, I think that boundary clarification is so important. You know, the idea that we don't all have the same ideas, because I think that in the process of projection, you know, imagining that someone is thinking a certain thing about you or for you or vice versa, those boundaries are not clearly delineated.
The other thing about this is that when we're infants, we get really good at recognizing the response of the adult faces.
Yeah.
You know, we can see when they're happy with us or when they're unhappy with us. And very often, I've noticed this, I had my own bouts with this also, that especially also if you're an empath, that you have responses to other people's facial expressions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important. You don't lose your empathic ability. That stays intact. But one of the things that is worth considering detaching from is assigning meaning to what's on the other person's face.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because very often, I always like to say, oh, I love to be wrong. Because for so many years, I assigned such negative meaning to the behavior and facial expressions of others. And I was taught a great lesson once. I was on a board with someone, and he always looked so angry to me at different points. And so I would say to this gentleman, I said, so what is that that's so upsetting? He said, what are you talking about? He says, I've had a stomach ache all night. So his facial expression indicated something going on inside of him that had nothing to do with the interactions or anything that was going on. And that was a great lesson for me to make fewer assumptions about what I see as meaning on another person.
Yeah, I love that.
Even what I think I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's okay. Yeah, I think that it's so important to be able to step back. And I always say, I know that when I'm filling in the story, it's likely not true. And so I step back and I say, well, I really don't have enough information to make that decision or that choice about something, because sometimes I'll be off to the races filling in the story, and I'm sure you've seen that as well and done it yourself. So
yeah.
I think it's so important to step back and say, not to personalize it, you know.
Right, right. But I do think that that's even a creative trait, that if anyone was to take that seriously inside themselves, they could be a great novelist. And write stories, because they'd be very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's also where the imagination starts. You know, I mean, actually, it's funny because we're taught kind of that projection process is where the imagination starts, you know. But really where the imagination starts is in withdrawing those projections, because then anything can be on the other end, you know, and then you can start to write a story about and fill in all of those pieces, and you're really free in a different way.
One of the things that I enjoy very much is when couples come to me, and they're very open. They start out by saying that they know exactly what the other person is thinking or something like that. Or the other thing that a partner might do is to say, how could she do this? How could she do this? Or even think that. And I might say, well, you know, the person might not even know themselves why. Mm-hmm. You know, that we are each to some degree a mystery, you know, and it's I like that perspective of discovering, certainly by asking, and sometimes the other person doesn't know for themselves why or what for. So, I'm one of the reasons, not just for my own healing, but I'm totally fascinated and in love with, the inner workings, our inner workings. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing that can be really cool is holding a story lightly, like holding a different story. So say you have, you know, a client, a couple or whatever, who have a story about each other that's very harsh and repetitive and that sort of thing. I think it can be really cool to have two people who combine and tell a story together about something that's not happening, because what it does is it opens up potential for another possibility, and it changes things, I think, even on a quantum level, so that they feel different about their interaction with each other and different about their interaction with the future.
Oh, I think that's great. That is great. Another point to share would be whenever a person's feeling dissatisfied, or, I mean, unhappy is sort of a general term, dissatisfied, disappointed, deprived, not good enough, powerless, to consider those as, yes, they're feelings, but more than that, it's an experiential perception. It's a perception. So if I was to see this differently, you know, what effect would that have on me? And sometimes I would say, okay, show me one other way to see this, either myself situation or the situation. Just show me one other way. And based on that, if I could see it in one other way, then it opened me up to many other ways. It showed me that I didn't have to be trapped with whatever my perception was, which is really thinking at that moment. And I think that's where when people are feeling trapped, that's what they're trapped in, is their own thinking about something.
Yeah. I love that idea of, you know, showing another way, because I think that, I think your book talks about that. I went to your website and read about your book, and it talks about choosing your feelings. And I think that we're taught that our feelings are something that's primal, that we can't choose them, that we're, you know, we're disconnected from that process of how we choose to respond to something. And I think that fundamentally our happiness is about our being able to choose. I know that, like, you know, at this stage in life, in midlife and past, we've all had wounding experiences. And so it's easy to get into this place of entitlement or anger or frustration because we've had experience with it. We've created this groove in our lives. And there's this element of choicefulness that has to happen where we say, I can choose to feel different and construct a different reality about this story like you're talking about. And I think that's an exercise, a muscle that we need to exercise.
I think one of the things that this book, Be Happy No Matter What, offers is lots of thoughts that sort of turn your thinking on an edge, or a little around or upside down, so that in a gentle way you get to have a glimpse of another way of viewing specific situations. That idea of constructing your reality and pairing that with something you said earlier about liking how I talk about the internal experience. I believe that that as much life is lived on the inside, and there are some who believe all life is lived on the inside, that to really play around with that, since it's not really written how we are to experience things, we really have wide open opportunity for creativity there. Now, we have gotten into grooves because of conditioning, and this audience on this call, we've been waking up for a long time, and we know that putting a helping hand out to help someone else wake up is another great thing, and waking up to a fuller reality that we can fashion on the inside. Now, some people laugh at me when I say this, but here's an idea. And any of these ideas that are not for you, just throw them out. It's like the ones that are for you, that resonate with you out there, then you use those. And each one I see is sort of a construct or a concept that just helps expand our realization of the consciousness that we have. So one of them is, sometimes I use this, it's like, things that I like, I take personally. So the sun is out today, I like it. The sun is shining just for me. Things I don't like, I don't take personally at all. So, and so it's an interesting exercise. It's like not to get bent out of shape when someone says something to me that maybe shows they don't know me or don't appreciate me. And I love that. I mean, I didn't make any of these things up. They were all from teachers and others. And that one phrase is, what someone else says is none of your business.
Yeah. That's definitely an adage. That's wonderful.
How good is that?
That's something I come back to all the time, you know. I just think. And I think it's enabled me to just be able to move energetically to better alignment with people and just to not create so much drama. I mean, we're all conditioned in our lives based on our families, based on culture, to create drama where we go. And I think that something like, whatever anybody thinks is none of your business, gets you out of that whole hooked interaction gives you a clean slate, you know, because it really is none of your business. And it really doesn't have any impact on your success or failure or definition of beauty or anything, really, honestly,
right.
Especially as an adult, you know, maybe as a child it impacted you that way because you didn't have better tools. But then as an adult, you can go back and just say, you know, I'm not giving that any energy.
Right, and I think that's what you just said is so important because it's us that's giving the energy. And
Yes. So
many times, I mean, we've all met people, we've felt ourselves low energy, drained, lethargic. And sometimes I say, oh, you have to find that spigot in your energy field that's open because we're pouring out energy. You just need to tighten that up and call that energy back to yourself. So, you know, when we are so focused on what other people think, then we're, and I think it used to be called giving away your power, but it's definitely energy draining. But we're in charge of the turning it on and off. That's the part that we may not have known. So it's very exciting when you start to realize everything that you do is under your own jurisdiction. There's no one else. You know, if we felt controlled by people growing up, actually, you know, when we're kids, we're little and we really are vulnerable and we can't run away and live and survive successfully, usually, or physically. So, we are powered over, but it's really an illusion because we're souls, and once we come into adulthood, we may still carry that feeling that others are controlling us or we can't speak up or things like that. But really, when we wake up from the spell of that illusion and we see that everything that's us is under our jurisdiction. Oh, my God, the freedom is amazing. While I consider my expertise happiness, it's the outcome is an inner freedom or a work, you know, collaboratively.
I think it's so wonderful how, you know, you're talking about how children really are vulnerable. I think often children who have experienced a lot of trauma use places in their imagination as a way to heal themselves. And and the resiliency of a child who has experienced trauma, often they have this very rich, developed inner life that's allowed them to survive things that they couldn't have survived if they'd stayed in the practical, everyday world.
I think that's so beautifully put and reminds me to say that all the things that we might be trying to overcome in our adulthood were designed in our childhood for safety and protection.
So that's
another great reason to let up on any self-judgment. And mentioned earlier, one way to detect it is to listen to the self-talk, in our minds. so, and to just set the intention. So much can be done now through, and I don't, when I say just, I'm not minimizing it, but I'm making it so that it's not burdensome by setting an intention and sort of with your mind putting energy to it, that it can be sufficient to create an outcome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, goal or letting go of something, or by setting an intention. One of the things I did want to mention is that, you know, the book is available on the website, BeHappyNoMatterWhat.com. And
I was
now,
get there.
Oh, that's okay, but it's not, and I'm getting around to something else. And it just went on to Kindle through Amazon. And as a book, it's not on Amazon yet. That'll be another month, because I have the release date as 12/12/2012. I'm so excited.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
I had to do it when I was talking to this gal who's helping me. She says, well, should we make it 2013? I said, no. I said, there's a real obvious thing here. I have to. So,
yeah.
So the other thing I want to mention is at the website, and I have some, there's some recordings, which could be MP3s or CDs, which are morning and evening guided meditations. And so talking about setting an intention for the day. So it leaves space for the listener to invite the listener to set an intention for the day or several. And then at the end of the day, you can look back and see how those things came about. And it could be, let me see all the areas I've grown, or I'd like to be in touch with what there is for me to receive today. Because so many people are, you know, so focused in giving that they might not notice where they are receiving, or someone who's working on receiving, and it's the feeling of receiving, receiving nurturance. There was a time I used, show me the gifts that the universe has for me today. And when you set that up in the morning, then it's very interesting that even in the most difficult situations that you have during the day, all of a sudden it pops into your mind a gift. And it really changes the energetic tenor of the day. So, you know, for people who are working in environments that are particularly challenging, and can use a boost, that kind of a guided meditation could be helpful.
We're doing this thing right now in our house where we have this jar. It's been going around Facebook. And you can put anything in the jar. It suggests that you do it on up till New Year's, and then you take everything out of the jar that you've manifested. But what we're doing is, it's wonderful. But what we're doing is we're taking things out of the jar that are synchronicities that have happened that we've been setting intention around. And Deepak Chopra talks about this idea that it takes 21 days to break a habit. And I've been doing it now for about a month and a half, and have gotten to the point where I don't even have to take anything out of the jar if I'm having a bad day. All I have to do is look at all the colored papers in there and remember, you know, everything that I've been able to bring into being. But it's such a powerful meditation. I think there's something about creating that ritual that on a body level, on a kinesthetic level, that changes the way we feel about that interaction with, you know, life. So.
And I mean, and you can do that with anything. And as
Absolutely.
You said, it becomes then just, I don't mean just, it becomes then looking at the jar, and it's already in your consciousness.
Exactly. So the shift is already there, potentially there, even no matter how you're feeling inside or what you're dealing with on the outside.
The other thing that there are a few chapters in the book on is getting in touch with your inner voice. And sometimes, and they don't really talk about it in the book in a spiritual sense, because this book is also for people who may or may not identify spiritually. So I wanted them to be able to recognize their own inclinations and inner voice and all the ways that they may have heard it but not followed it. And it could be as simple as get up and brush your teeth right now and lay in bed a little longer, or, make a right turn at the corner. Because if you make a right turn at the corner, you may be avoiding an accident or, something like that. So there's some exercises and opportunities in the book to appreciate that inner voice as intuition, as inner guidance, as an innate wise self, and about following it. And then toward the end of the book, there's two examples, an example about a challenging health situation and a divorce situation, and how actually their experiences from my life and how I was able to use the five steps to inner freedom. And do I have time just to say what those steps are?
We've got 3 minutes, but I think that you can squeeze it in.
Well, I didn't know how you wanted to use the last 3 minutes. What's the best way?
Oh, no, it's okay. It's okay.
All right. Centering in myself, each person is at their own center. Appreciating me and my life as a work of art, portrait, and landscape. That's zooming in and zooming out. Hearing my inner wisdom, no need to look elsewhere. Honoring myself, following my inner inclinations. Caring for myself, the old ways and the new ways, and then the two life experiences. The new me debuts in relationships, how I'm the same and different. The new me faces life's challenging situations and adventure in how I'm different. So those are the five steps.
It sounds wonderful. I can't wait to read it. I'm really looking forward to it. And I'd love to have you back on the show after I've read it, because I know that you sent me an email about that I wasn't able to get to. So if you'd like to be back on the show in the spring after I've read it, we can have a more thorough discussion of it.
That would be great. And I'm hoping people will, you can download a free chapter on the website.
Awesome.
And I'm hoping people will buy it as gifts for the holidays to give a cuddle-up, soft experience of healing to their friends and family members. So
that's a great time for needing it, for sure, is the holidays.
Yeah, So that's at BeHappyNoMatterWhat.com. Thank you so much, Jen.
And very briefly, how can people get a hold of you for therapy work?
You could email me at... Ellen at BeHappyNoMatterWhat.com.
Awesome. Well,
and
thanks
also,
so much.
I'll give you my phone number, too. That's 614-842-4374, 614-842-4374.
Thanks so much for sharing the hour. It was wonderful.
It was great.
Good
I
too.
Love you. Bye-bye.
I love you, too. Bye-bye. Whatever you do between now and next week, go and make magic, feel magic, create magic, imbibe magic, notice it, because that's what it's there for you. Take good care. Bye now.